Now, I don't know how you read your Bible, but especially when I was young, I read it in such a way that I captured a verse and I just held that verse. And that verse is still fresh to me now that I'm not young. Don't laugh. Not as young. I choose to be grey. I could buy dye. But I hold that verse the same. It's fresh. I also held chapters. And I want to look at the scripture in Romans chapter 8. And I want to encourage you to think about that. That it's a good idea to get hold of a chapter. Make that a chapter that's yours. And I'm going to just share part of a chapter today. The second part of Romans chapter 8. Before we do, I'll ask the Lord to bless with his word. Lord, we thank you for your precious word and the power and life that's in it. We ask that as we come to share it today, that you would refresh, revive us and help us. In the name of Jesus, teach us, we pray. Amen. The heading I put was when the pain meets the promise, and that is really relevant for us in that last year. And I realized as I was preparing a message that there is a lot of that in this chapter, and I hope to encourage you with that today. Romans 8:16, the Spirit himself bears witness that with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. I notice in this chapter that there is the pain and the promise. I notice in life that you get the pain. You have to look for the promise. In this reading, I put it in red there because pain, it stands out like something red, doesn't it? We remember the pain. If you ask a group to share your story, it will go from pain to pain to pain to pain. And we have to remember as Christians to blessing, to blessing, to blessing. Count your blessings. But if indeed we suffer with him. Now, I admire the young guy, Israel Folau. I admire him for his stand. He's just made a statement out of scripture like we would in social media. It could cost him $4 million, perhaps a lot more. But he's not backing down, and pray God that he won't. Because he believes that this is suffering with him. See, there are people who suffer and they'll come out with this. Why is this happening to me? But they're not suffering with him. They're suffering because there's a bill for speeding, right? Oh, there's a bill for parking. I won't go into that one. It's Mother's Day, okay? There's all this heartache around the family and things. There's the pain. But this reading is about if we suffer with him, we'll be glorified with him together. We are heirs. It's going to happen. You've planted out here. There will be growth. We've entrusted our lives to Christ. We're promised that it will be worth it, even if we suffer with him. Remember who you are, you joint heirs with Christ. He goes on to say, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed in us. So there are sufferings at this present time. And if you don't have them now, you soon will. Especially if you want to speak up for Christ. Especially if you want to sacrifice yourself for him. The sufferings of this present time. This is just now. And I think this helped me, and people tried to quote this to me as I'm coming home from hospital. I'm thinking about where life is at. I'm home. The dogs don't know what's going on. Our sons are in Perth. They're ringing up. What's the latest news from the doctors? And I think this is just this present time. This is just now. And those sufferings, whatever they are and wherever they come from, they're not worthy to be compared to what the glory is that God has got ready for us. For those of us that will be revealed in and to and through. Remember that this is just now. God has a time limit on suffering. And you could go all the way to the grave and that time is up. Then you have eternity. for all good. Down to verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting the adoption, the redemption of the body. With the pain, there's the promise. Anybody groan? Full groan. Notice when you get older and you get up out of the chair, there's groaning. The knees, the back, I go down again. The whole of creation groans in yearning for Christ's coming. We're not the only ones going through groaning. There's suffering of this present time, but even us who we know that we're who we are, remember that we're heirs in Christ, remember the glories prepared for us, we're still groaning. And to be honest, a lot of it is genuine. A lot of it is legitimate. Why is it like this? Why do we have to suffer like this? Why is this going on? And sin has invaded the world. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. And with a groaning, we eagerly await the adoption. Oh, the papers have already been signed. You're just waiting for the pickup day. How beautiful. Remember what you will be as a child of the King when you're busy groaning. Remember that He helps our prayers in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray, how we should. The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Now, this does not talk about speaking in tongues. This is words that can't be said. It's the emotion of deep anguish in a soul that can be uttered before God in ways that you and I can't find words for. I found it really interesting, the lovely young couple up here. How did you propose? Well, I asked her. And they asked her side of the story. Well, we went to the hill and there was the trees and there was the view and it was that. Men groan for words and we don't have them. We don't even know how we should pray. And sometimes we don't have to know. We just have a heart before God, and we're talking about suffering and pain. Whatever this is, Lord, I don't get it, but I want to bring it to You. And He helps our prayers. Have you ever thought of that? God Himself is actually helping our prayers. The Holy Spirit is doing something here that means something eternally when we pray. The Spirit Himself makes intercession for us. So He even steps in to speak for us. We don't think of that, do we? We think prayer sometimes is labor, a duty. And sometimes we might even want to say lots and lots of words when we miss the meaning of what's in our heart. Remember that He helps your prayers. He helps in our weaknesses. And the pain of weakness is that we are far from God. We are so unlike Him. We don't even know how to approach Him quite often. But He can help with that. Remember also that He speaks for us. He doesn't just help us in our prayers when it says, now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Amen. One of the stories I wanted to share is our Pastor Gerald. Now, I can't go back. Pastor Gerald, who was here through the week, 6 months ago, I suppose, maybe not that. He's a good guy, right? They've adopted, fostering kids. He's got a bus, he's taken it back, and he's walking home. As he's walking home, there's a car starts to follow him. And it sped up, and he saw it beside him, and then stopped, and came up beside him, and then stopped. And as he's realized early in the morning, he's in danger, so he crossed over the other side where there's a footpath. And the car turned around and followed him. And as he turned, the car drove up onto the footpath and ran into him. Pastor Gerald Eads. And he's left unconscious, who knows how long for, but maybe an hour or half an hour, just on the footpath as this guy, whoever's done it, has driven off and left him for dead. And somebody's found him and called an ambulance, and he woke up in the ambulance, thank God. And he's got broken ribs, and he's got, you know, all kinds of bruising and injuries and things like that. Here's a Christian man going about his daily business. All of a sudden, pain and suffering has hit him, literally like a car. And how do you get the meaning of this? Was he drugged? Was it just racism? And they've eventually found the guy, and he's gone to court, and the rest of it goes through this week. He's sentenced this week, I think it is. And all these questions, and of course around the country, people are praying for him, and he shared with us on Friday that people were ringing up the pastor saying, what time is Gerald's funeral? Because they'd heard about him being run over. I mean, the nature of Aboriginal ministry is a little rough, because even the pastors are suffering with what the community suffers with. And I want to share the next verse. Thanks. Neil, did I get that working? I did. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Remember, things are working. This here now is not the end. This is part of the process. Things are working. Things are working. You know, sometimes you have to fix up something around the house, and you can go back quite proudly and say, things are working. Right now it's working. God is working. God is not abandoned us. He's not before the problem and after it. He's in it. Things are working. All things are working together for good. And sometimes if you're the one in the hospital bed, you don't really want to hear that verse so much. But God is doing something good, and we can trust him. And so when you hit your wall, this all things is a little bit open-ended, isn't it? I've never really stopped to notice that the grief and the pain that all things could be is really quite huge. And if I was open the floor, I'm sure you could share quite a bit of your all things. And remember that God is for us. We move down to 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Actually, a lot of people can be against us. And that seems to be a growing number. And it's just come out, the United Nations have said that Christian people are the most persecuted people in the world. And United Nations will not say that lightly. Lots of people could be against us. But don't forget, God is for us. Remember that God is for us. Tell yourself, God is for us. Say it with me. God is for us. Who can stand against us? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? So the pain meets the promise. And I hope next time you read this chapter, you'll see that. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is it? Who is he who condemns? Is Christ who died, furthermore, is also risen, is even at the right hand of God who makes intercession for us. Again, someone praying for us in heaven, the Son himself. Who will bring a charge against us? Well, a lot of people will. A lot of people will bring a false accusation. If they did it to Jesus, they'll do it to you. They'll question your motives. They'll question your authenticity. They'll doubt your integrity. It's God who justifies. Don't have to work hard to fix that. And the reason I say that is because Jesus met Herod and didn't say anything. Jesus could have said things that would have dropped everybody's jaw. He didn't say anything. God will justify. Who condemns? Well, it doesn't matter who condemns. Because we know that the one who's the true judge is the Lord Jesus, and he's actually speaking to the Father for us. So just wait. Those who's are not people to trust in. The one to trust is the one who died and rose for us and speaks for us. Remember, we conquer in and through him. And this is a very familiar verse. Who, this is another who, shall separate us from the love of Christ? And there's a list. And I've shared a little bit of those lists with my stories today. Tribulation or big trouble, distress, anxiety, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, wars, in other words, as it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter, yet in all these things, here's the promise, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Hold on to that. So we conquer in all these things through him who loved us. Not because of us. And I love that in that song, the last line of that song this morning. I'm nearly done. I probably went too long. But double reassurance in this scripture. For I am persuaded, and here he comes with his preacher. He's got his preacher hat on again. That neither death nor life, bad news, trouble, right? The worst of it. Even this. Powers, angels, principalities, even that. Things present, things to come. Height or depth, any level of trouble, or any other created thing that not listed above, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is found in Jesus Christ our Lord. And I pray and trust you have found that love. For I am persuaded that death and life are absolutely tough. Life itself is tough. Death is tough. Difficulty at home is tough. And I'm persuaded that that there even can't separate us from his love. It's this guarantee. When my brother was quite young, he liked to surf fish. Went out into the surf down south. And I went with him one day and I said, how did you cast the way out there? How did you do that? And so he's a pretty good mechanic, my brother. And so he showed me his method. He tied two spark plugs onto the line. And they were his sinkers. And so now it's got all this extra weight to cast way out there where the fish were. And I often think to myself, you know, our faith is that. We have cast way out there. We are just waiting on the Lord and we're anchored to him. We're not doubting. We're not maybe catching fish right now. But we are safe knowing that he's got it all in his hands. Nothing can separate us from his love. No one, no problem. And that wraps the chapter. And I hope and trust that as you read that one, you get some blessings in the future. But I don't want to leave it there, because the Bible is not written chapter and verse. It's written as letters. And have a look at this next one. This is the next verse in the Bible. I tell you in truth, I'm not lying, my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. Did you just hear the rest of the stuff he just told us? And yet there's this open, genuine Christian testimony that, look, I'm not kidding you. I have a lot of worry and grief. And he goes on to say about what they are. And he's more concerned about the church and the state of the church. And that should be a worry and a grief, to be honest. But I just don't want you to go away thinking your Christian life needs to be this high. We read the verse, we bounce back, everything's fine. It does work like that, but it doesn't always. And we can trust God because he's not only in the distance, he's in the present. And we can see this guy who's got such faith and understanding of walking with Jesus goes on to say, but I'm telling you, I'm still dealing with a lot of grief. And so I want to encourage you with that too. And be authentic as a believer, because otherwise you're not approachable. Nobody knows your story. They don't get it. It's fake. And what will happen, you know, you have a beautiful time Sunday. By Friday, you're begging out for God again. Will we just walk with him honestly? And this scripture is given to us, I believe, to help us do that. Remember, with the pain, there's a promise. And God's promises are all good. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and patience. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for giving me a voice again this week after the flu. And thank you for the fellowship we've been able to share today. And for the precious promises of your word, in Jesus' name, amen.